One of the oldest alternatives to fossil fuels is hydroelectricity. The Hoover Dam, Egypt's Aswan Dam, China's Three Gorges Dam. These massive facilities control flooding and generate power. They can create economic opportunity, but also destroy livelihoods and ecosystems. Case in point, the Gibe Dam on the Omo River in Ethiopia, under construction since 2006, and potentially the fourth largest dam in the world. It's hugely controversial, in part because it would disrupt the Omo seasonal floods that hundreds of thousands of indigenous people have depended on for centuries. Philemon Laeli, a local activist, told us why the river is so vital.
These communities depend on this river. It's really part of their life. They have thousands of years of fishing grounds and also farming land. This river, it's like, I remember one of the leaders saying that it's like our cow, you know, when they depend on the cow milk. So this river is like our cow that we milk every time. And this never gets old. So the government is trying to take our cow and use for itself. And now we will be starving.
What reports have you heard from people you trust at home in Ethiopia about the violence?
The army has been deployed everywhere. You can't talk anything about the dam. You can't talk anything against the government. One of my friends whom I know was confiscated of all his electronics. The computer was seized by the state government, and his documents and file were taken out, and he's now in trouble anyway. So he's scared even to talk to me because they monitor every step. Even his Facebook is under them.
Well, environmental activists have taken up the cause, among them Survival International. The organization's Elizabeth Hunter explained it's not just the dam that's a problem, it's also other actions of the Ethiopian government.
A few years ago, the then Prime Minister, Meles Zenawi, announced that the government was going to literally take over a whole lot of land in the Lower Omo, which is home to several tribal peoples, and turn it into vast sugarcane plantations. Simultaneously, we also discovered that quite a lot of land further down towards the Kenyan border has been earmarked and leased out to private companies where they are embarking on growing things like cotton, biofuels like oil palm, etc. Now, the only way that these plantations are viable is by irrigation from the Omo. And what the function of the dam, one of the main functions, as well as selling electricity, is going to be that it will regulate the flow, which will enable them to pump water to irrigate these plantations. They will also do away with the natural flood, which the tribal people depended on to plant crops, what they call a flood retreat cultivation. So it is effectively a double whammy. The plantations plus the irrigation is simply going to destroy the livelihood of all the tribal peoples that depend on the Omo.
What does the projected economic benefit of this dam? What does the government say?
Well, the government has touted it as this is bringing, you know, immense benefit to poor Ethiopians, and it's also enabling them to make money by selling surplus electricity to neighboring countries such as Kenya. I think the reality is what the dam is doing is enabling a land grab. The government is grabbing land that belongs to tribal people, and they are saying we're planting sugar and all these biofuels, this is what's going to make money. And then the question really is, a lot of private companies stand to make a lot of money on the backs of indigenous people, and indeed, you know, 8 to 12 tribes, whole tribes of people are going to be affected. Can one really call this viable, and is it development? I think not with that human cost.
Now, how does this fit into the indigenous rights there in Ethiopia?
Well, the Ethiopian constitution has several articles. For example, one article guarantees that Ethiopian pastoralists have the right to free land for grazing and cultivation, as well as the right not to be displaced from their own land. There's another article that says that the peoples have the right to full consultation and expression of views in the planning and implementations of environmental policies and projects that affect them directly. Now, the Ethiopian government has simply ridden roughshod over its own constitution, as well as international constitutions such as the United Nations Declaration on the Rights of Indigenous Peoples, on the Africa Charter on Human Rights. And now what is happening, because of this program to turn over so much of the land along the Omo into plantations, they have simply gone in there and said, well, we're consulting the people. They've held one or two meetings, and people have very clearly said, we want to remain on our lands. And where they have met opposition, the government has been incredibly heavy-handed. I mean, we're getting reports of terrible human rights violations. I've interviewed and talked to people on the ground who've given graphic descriptions of arbitrary arrests, people being thrown into jail, being beaten up. Some people, we've got reports of rapes. This is purely because people are standing up saying, we don't want this on our land.
What are the ecological consequences of the dam?
They will be very considerable. First of all, because you've got the plantations, the government is at this moment destroying the wildlife, destroying the environment to build these monocultures. So it's going to be catastrophic for wildlife, as of course for the tribal people. In fact, the area was declared a UNESCO World Heritage Site on both sides of the border in the Omo and in Lake Turkana in northern Kenya.
Who is paying for the construction of this dam?
Well, that's an interesting question. I mean, we know that Silini, this construction company, is building the dam, and that one of the Chinese investment banks is funding the turbines. The World Bank recently announced that it was going to fund the power lines and sort of rather ducked the issue, was very economical with the truth, saying it's not funding the dam, but it's funding the power lines. Obviously, the power lines are an essential part of the dam. So the Ethiopian government has got funding from the international community, essentially, although it is interesting to note that both the Africa Development Bank and the European Investment Bank just declined to fund the Gibe Dam for a number of reasons, and one of them, I think, was because there was a recognition that this is going to be extremely serious for the peoples who live in this area.
What are the avenues to take this on in court?
Well, Survival has made a submission to the African Commission on Human and People's Rights, because we felt that the chances of really getting any justice in Ethiopia were zero. The courts work very slowly, and there are question marks about the independence of judges. And we felt that it had reached the stage where this situation is so serious that we'll soon reach a point of no return. So we've gone to the Africa Commission. They're considering that petition now.
You make it sound like there's nothing to be done. This is just going to go ahead. These people are going to be displaced. Doesn't seem like anything is going to stop it. Or do I have that wrong?
No, actually, I don't agree with you. I know it sounds very bleak, but I do think that there is a lot that can be done. And I think a very key point in all of this is public opinion. If enough people put pressure on their governments and on the Ethiopian government, I think we can see some change. I mean, for example, I did get news that this very big sugar plantation, which is known as the Kuraz Sugar Project, is not as big as was originally envisioned. They've made it a smaller concession. And I think that has been, it is an example that they have responded, albeit slightly, to public pressure and international concern. So it is possible to change things.
Elizabeth Hunter is with Survival International in London. Thank you so much, Elizabeth.
Thank you very much.
We contacted the Ethiopian Embassy in Washington. You can find its statement in full on our website, loe.org. It reads in part, quote, far from a social and environmental disaster in the making, all the evidence suggests a major and controlled social and beneficial transformation is in process. Certainly, it will impact on the local population, and yes, it will mean changes, but these will provide major improvements in living conditions and the environment.